I turned around. The Saab was nose in to a discount liquor store. Next to the liquor store, on one side, was a place that sold car stereos, and on the other side was a place with a window full of fake crystal chandeliers. I doubted if the maid had been sent out to buy a new ceiling fixture, or to get a CD player installed in the Saab, so she must have been sent to the liquor store. And then she must have found a whole bunch of people waiting there for her. Four of them, maybe five, at least. After the first moment of surprise, she would have changed from a bewildered maid to a trained agent fighting for her life. They would have anticipated that. They would have come mob-handed. I looked up and down the sidewalk, then I looked at the liquor store. It had a window full of boxes. There was no real view out. But I went in anyway. The store was full of boxes, but empty of people. It felt like it spent most of its time that way. It was cold and dusty. The clerk behind the counter was a gray guy of about 50. Gray hair, gray shirt, gray skin. He looked like he hadn't been outside in a decade. He had nothing I wanted to buy as an icebreaker, so I just went right ahead and asked him my question. See that Saab out there? He made a big show of lining up his view out front.
I see it.
You see what happened to the driver?
No.
People who say no right away are usually lying. A truthful person is perfectly capable of saying no, but generally they stop and think about it first, and they add, sorry, or something like that. Maybe they come out with some questions of their own. It's human nature. They say, sorry, no. Why, what happened? I put my hand in my pocket and peeled off a bill from Beck's wad, purely by feel. Took it out. It was 100. I folded it in half and held it up between my finger and my thumb. Now, did you see? He glanced to his left, my right, toward the business park beyond his walls. Just a fast glance, furtive, out and back.
Nah.
Black town car? Drove off that way?
I didn't see. I was busy.
You're practically rushed off your feet in here. I can see that. It's a miracle one man can handle the pressure.
I was in the back, on the phone, I guess.
I kept 100 up there in my hand for another long moment. I guessed 100 tax-free dollars would represent a healthy slice of his week's net take. But he looked away from it. That told me plenty, too. Okay, I said. I put the money back in my pocket and walked out. I drove the Saab 200 yards south on Route 1 and stopped at the first gas station I saw. Went in and bought a bottle of spring water and two candy bars. I paid four times more for the water than I would have for gasoline, if you calculated it by the gallon. Then I came out and sheltered near the door and peeled a candy bar and started eating it. Used the time to look around. No surveillance. So I stepped over to the payphones and used my change to call Duffy. I had memorized her motel number. I crouched under the plastic bubble and tried to stay dry. She answered on the second ring. Drive north to Saco, I said. Right now. Meet me in the big brick mall on the River Island in a coffee shop called Cafe Cafe. Last one there buys. I finished my candy bar as I drove south. The Saab rode hard, and it was noisy compared to Beck's Cadillac or Harley's Lincoln. It was old and worn. The carpets were thin and loose. It had six figures on the clock. But it got the job done. It had decent tires, and the wipers worked. It made it through the rain okay. And it had nice, big mirrors. I watched them all the way. Nobody came after me. I got to the coffee shop first, ordered a tall espresso to wash the taste of chocolate out of my mouth. Duffy showed up 6 minutes later. She paused in the doorway and looked around and then headed over toward me and smiled. She was in fresh jeans and another cotton shirt, but it was blue, not white. Over that was her leather jacket, and over that was a battered old raincoat that was way too big for her. Maybe it was the old guy's. Maybe she had borrowed it from him. It wasn't Elliot's, that was clear. He was smaller than she was. She must have come north, not expecting bad weather.
Is this place safe?
She said. I didn't answer.
What?
You're buying. You got here second. I'll have another espresso, and you owe me for the first one. She looked at me blankly, and then went to the counter and came back with an espresso for me and a cappuccino for herself. Her hair was a little wet. She had combed it with her fingers. She must have parked her car on the street and walked in through the rain and checked her reflection in a store window. She counted her change in silence and dealt me bills and coins equal to the price of my first cup. Coffee was another thing way more expensive than gasoline up here in Maine, but I guessed it was the same everywhere.
"What's up?"
she said. I didn't answer.
"Reacher, what's the matter?"
"You put another agent in 8 weeks ago. Why didn't you tell me?"
"What?"
"What I said."
"What agent?"
"She died this morning. She underwent a radical double mastectomy without the benefit of anesthetic." She stared at me.
"Teresa?"
I shook my head.
"Not Teresa. The other one."
"What other one?" "Don't bullshit me."
"What other one?"
I stared at her, hard, then softer. There was something about the light in that coffee shop. Maybe it was the way it came off all the blonde wood and the brushed metal and the glass and the chrome. It was like X-ray light, like a truth serum. It had shown me Elizabeth Beck's genuine, uncontrollable blush. Now I was expecting it to show me the exact same thing from Duffy. I was expecting it to show me a deep red blush of shame and embarrassment because I had found her out. But it showed me total surprise instead. It was right there in her face. She had gone very pale. She had gone stark white with shock. It was like the blood had drained right out of her. And nobody can do that on command any more than they can blush.
"What other one?"
she said again.
"There was only Teresa." "What? Are you telling me she's dead?"
"Not Teresa. There was another one. Another woman. She got hired on as a kitchen maid."
"No. There's only Teresa."
I shook my head again. I saw the body. It wasn't Teresa.
"A kitchen maid?"
"She had an email thing in her shoe. Exactly the same as mine. The heel was scooped out by the same guy. I recognized the handiwork."
"That's not possible."
I looked straight at her.
"I would have told you. Of course I would have told you. And I wouldn't have needed you if I had another agent in there. Don't you see that?"
I looked away, looked back. Now I was embarrassed. So who the hell was she? She didn't answer. Just started nudging her cup around and around on her saucer, prodding at the handle with her forefinger, turning it 10 degrees at a time. The heavy foam and the chocolate dust stayed still while the cup rotated. She was thinking like crazy.